You're in tune with WNCW's What It Is. I'm Joe Kendrick. Very glad to have Carol Rifkin back on the panel. Also trekking down from Asheville is new panelist Kim Rule. She's a writer for No Depression and writing a book about Zilphia Horton, among other things. You can check her out at folkmusic.about.com. And today we're taking our cue from Jeff Eason, who unfortunately had car trouble and couldn't make it down today, so we're going to steal his idea in talking about live albums. Are they on the decline? And Jeff writing us saying that other than the Avett Brothers, is anyone even putting out live albums anymore? They were a staple of the 70s and 80s, and then bands like The Dead and Fish kind of cultivated the boutique live album available for fans in the 90s. Is that still a thing?
I think it is still a thing. Of course, I'm in the folk and Americana realm where a lot of those bands feel much more comfortable on stage. Their live performances are often a lot more compelling than their studio recordings. A few came to mind right off the bat. Jeff had mentioned the Todd Snyder live album that just came out. I was thinking of John Prine's live album from last year. Brandi Carlile has a live album with the Seattle Symphony, which is better than anything that she's done in the studio.
Oh, well, I think in acoustic music, live albums are definitely still having. I mean, if you can't get into the studio, you almost have to do a recording every year if you're out there on the road and need a product to sell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are happening so fast. But it's really hard to, A, to be able to afford it, and B, to be able to get the time to get it done. So I think a lot of bands alternate in acoustic music live with in studio. B, live is cheaper, it's warm, it's fuzzy. You don't have an expectation about the quality because you know it's live. It just is the animal that it is. And you can put it in there, and fans like it because they're going to hear you the way you are in a concert, and they're forgiving. The other thing about acoustic, as opposed to major, you know, national acts that do rock and stuff, is that they have the same chops on stage that they have in the studio. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bands that can't really recreate live what they can do in the studio, whereas, you know, it is what it is for string bands and bluegrass bands and you know, singer songwriters. If they can't do it on, you know, whatever they do on stage, they can do live in the studio. So
yeah, what's funny is that a lot of these bands, like you said, Carol, you know, they basically might not have the chops to pull off a good live record, depending on who they are. Yeah, you know, outside of the circles that we've been talking about. You think about the heyday of the live record, Live at Budokan, and records like that. These were a lot of artists and acts that had extensive catalog, had a large audience. Also, they didn't have all of these YouTubes and things that you could instantly access. Nowadays, I think part of what might be the decline of live records in general is the fact that you can listen to their show the day after when your friend posts it. It happens all the time.
Right.
Now. So
yeah.
Why go out and buy
with
the live
quality
record? You've already got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is an opportunity for artists to kind of control the quality of a live mm-hmm. recording. Like Ani DiFranco has been doing these bootleg series, you know, which recognizes that fans will come to the show and record their own bootlegs and pass them around to their friends. But oftentimes the recording quality isn't going to be so hot. So if the artist can kind of do their own bootleg recording from the soundboard and clean it up with a little better equipment, then maybe it could give the fans something more than they'll get from their friends.
She's so smart. I mean, she's always been such a leader in, I'm digressing here, but I'm just, Ani DiFranco has always been such a leader in what's going on in independence and what should the artist do next. So I'm not surprised that she would be the one that would start producing quality bootlegs mm-hmm. of her own show. That's pretty cool. But that is part of the live experience at Grassroots mm-hmm. is that you can do it because you can do it. And for a lot of the Grassroots musicians that I see as a journalist or radio host at the local or national level is that that's what they can afford. Mm-hmm. And that's what's easy. They can't afford a recording studio. So most of the regional beginning band's first record is at least 50%. Let's get around the digital player in your living room and hope we don't hear the truck going down the road. And let's not make any mistakes and just do it.
And I've also heard about a handful of smaller venues around the country that have added recording studios to the live venue setting. I know Eddie's Attic will make a recording of you at the open mic. And I have a friend in Atlanta who, when he first moved there, that's what he used as his demos for a couple of years. He'd go to the Eddie's Attic open mic and get a live recording and just use it to get gigs.
Oh, the Down Home in Johnson City has been doing that for about 30 years, but I think it was just because Ed Snodderly knew how and the people up there, and they had the equipment, but people have always gone there to go, you know, you'd go to play and you say, well, can I do a demo too? But I didn't. That's so interesting and wonderful, really.
Yeah. And it's a great thing for bands that can nail a live show, but don't necessarily have the money to make a demo or an EP or any more involved recording. They can just play a brief live set somewhere and get a recording of that show, and then say live at Eddie's Attic or live at Columbia City Theater.
You know, so combining venues with a vanity press.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, on the flip side of it, though, some of them are truly awful. And I get them and say, you know, they do themselves a disservice. Like, I've actually gone to see a young band and said, oh, they're so good. And they give me their demo. And it's just so awful that I would encourage people to listen to their live recordings, because sometimes they're not doing themselves a service doing it. But it is, live recording has become what you do when you start in music now.
Mm-hmm. The same thing happened with Mountain Heart. You know, I wasn't super thrilled with the recordings that I heard of them. And then all of a sudden they made that live at the Ark record, which was just tremendous. And, you know, they were able to capture the amount of energy that those guys have in a live show, which if you've ever seen them there.
Right. Yeah.
It's like an explosion.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely different. You're right. The live experience is like the real person. And the studio record is almost like their resume or something. You know, it's just like, they can give you the best bullet points about themselves, but there's something that's completely, you know, lost in that translation versus the live performance. That's what happens so often, is you'll either glom on to an artist that you didn't get before from listening to their studio record, or you might get turned off of an artist that might not be all that good live, like you're saying, Carol.
Oh, right. There are some major stars in Americana who do good live. Taj Mahal does great live, but he does great everything. But it's few and far between that really pull that off well, I think.
Yeah. Well, and there's the difference between, you know, when you're playing a live show, you have the audience and there's the energy in the room that you're kind of playing off of, versus sitting in a studio with a pair of headphones on, looking at the wall and trying to find some emotion to pull out. It's just a completely different art. So.
I've sat around so many band practice where it's like, oh my gosh, we cannot play this song fast enough. You know, we're so bored. It's like, we're awful. And you get on the stage and it's like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So there definitely is the energy of the audience that lifts your spirits and says, oh, wow, this is the real deal. I really actually better do a good job. You know, sometimes it's a really positive stress.
And so bands, I think, that are used to doing that and touring a lot, sometimes when they get into the studio, it just kind of falls flat. I mean, if you're a big touring band, you spend, you know, 200 days a year on stage, you're going to spend 3 days in that year in a studio. What are you going to automatically do better? Probably the live show, you know.
Another interesting thing, though, is that live shows for major acts, one of the reasons we're maybe not seeing so many live is that they're moving to DVD. They're not doing live CDs anymore. And I think they're, I heard
like
a rumor that
released...
the major distributors are around, aren't even in our area, aren't even making CDs anymore. They're focused only on DVD reproduction, because why do the live show? If you've got the bucks to do it, why do just the sound one? You can do the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's paired up with the new release. For example, I see that more and more. You get the new album and it's got the DVD of the concert with it. We're talking about live albums today on WNCW's What It Is. Have you bought any live records lately? What did you think about them? Email us, whatitis@wncw.org. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Kim Rule and Carol Rifkin. Until next time.